Welcome to Millington Baptist Church. The message you're about to hear was delivered at Millington by Raymond Ramos, who is with Missions Door.
Praise God. All right. It's good to be here. Amen. I said earlier that I'm still in awe, right? I'm still shocked. I'm still, think it's a miracle that I'm saved, that I'm a Christian. I told earlier, I said, life has gotten to a way that if I'm dreaming, nobody better wake me up. You know what I mean? I hated Jesus Christ. I wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. I didn't like you Christians. I definitely didn't like the church. And I said a lot of things in the earlier service that I'm probably not going to say in this service, right? I definitely didn't think I was ever going to be a Christian. In fact, when I actually became a Christian, I was studying Islam, because of my jail experiences. And I remember reading Gandhi saying once, and identified with Gandhi. Gandhi said that he really, really valued the teachings of Jesus Christ and looked at Jesus as a great teacher. And that he would have become a Christian. The problem was that he never met one. And that's kind of how I felt about the church and about Christians and people who proclaim to be righteous or church folk. And so my story, starts very young. I started using drugs young. I got involved with sexual morality young. I'm not going to say a lot of things this morning, but I will tell you this, that from a very young age, I say the first time I ran away from home, I was 9 years old. And I remember because they used to say that this kid got demons in him. That this kid is so messed up. 8 years old doing things, stabbed my sister. A lot of dark things. And that they used to, every Saturday, my mother was involved in witchcraft, Santeria. And my grandmother was a Catholic, right? And every Saturday, we would go visit my grandmother, and they would perform their own exorcisms on me, right? Well, my grandmother had a belt. My mother had like a 2x4. And every Saturday they would try to beat the demons out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. So, anyway, at a very young age, I wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And if they were Christians, then I definitely didn't want to be a Christian. And so I had problems with Jesus from the beginning. And the misinformation, the gospel is not hell. The gospel is freedom from hell. It's getting saved from hell. The gospel is grace, mercy, and forgiveness. That guys like me and guys like you and ladies, we could do the crime and Jesus did the time. That's the gospel. That we are sinners set free by a mighty Savior. And that, I wasn't taught that. I was taught that you're going to hell. God knows your secrets. So if you don't tell me, it's all good because he's going to get you. And so I wanted to do with Jesus Christ. And at the age of 9, because of these little exorcisms, I wrote a letter to my mother. I said, you don't have to cry no more. The devil is leaving home. And I ran away. And I think I went to Covenant House at that time. And so I just want to say that I never thought I'd be a Christian from Jump Street. I used to shake my fist at God. When I got older, I had a gun. I used to shoot my gun in the sky. And be like, curse God. I used to mock Christians. And thank God, you've been learning the last couple, that someone would continue to walk across the room for me. Thank God that people walked across the yard in jail. Thank God that people walked across and went to drug spots and shared the gospel. And thank God that people took the time and they heard God's whisper. Like you've been, Pastor Pandel's been teaching here from the pulpit. And they obeyed God's whisper, and they reached out to me. And even though I made fun of Christians, that's why it's important sometimes to continue to share the gospel. We're not responsible for the results. I'm not responsible, to get no one saved. I'm responsible just to share the good news. In Greek, evangelism is good news. Share the good news, right? I know a little bit of Greek and Hebrew. I didn't have to study Greek and Hebrew to do my ministry because stop smoking crack means stop smoking crack in Hebrew and Greek. So, I went from 7th grade to jail. I went to Rikers High, and they threw me out of Rikers High, right? So I had to look up words in the Webster's Dictionary when I got to prepare sermons, And So anyway, I said to say that even though people may make fun of Christians, and oh yeah, you're a Christian, you know, they bow down, you know, they do all types of crazy things. People who are the farthest from God, like when I was far from God, I knew when a Christian was doing something they wasn't supposed to be doing. I'd be like, I thought you were a Christian. You're smoking. What happened? You know what I mean? I thought you were a Christian. You know, this, that. So anyway, I said to say that I mocked Christians. I made fun of Christians. I've been bad. You know, I was belligerent. You know, I thought you was a, so he was a coward if he was a Christian, right? And so I made fun. And here's the thing. Don't ever stop. Don't ever, you know, it's like water. You know, water, if it drips, keeps dripping, it'll make a hole in concrete, right? So don't ever stop because, you know, you might be, I think like Pastor Pandel said, I've been online listening to the sermons a little bit, that if you might be the 30th person that God has sent to one person. And you might be the one person that God uses to break the yoke of bondage in that person's life. You know? You're just one person. So people told me about Christ in jail and all over the place. And that's the way God is. You might be here today and your wife might have stuffed you in a suit, made you put on a tie, or and dragged you to church. Or she's not making supper. You might be a teenager here and they're going to take away your cell phone if you don't come to church. You know what I mean? Because... And today could be the day that you allow God to warm your heart, experience, taste, and see how good he is. Today could be your day. Moses was walking in the desert after 40 years of the same old, and one day, after 40 years of the same old, God got a hold of him. So you might have been coming to church for 10 years because they make you come. And today could be your day. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, so I was tore up from the floor up. I was wrecked up from the neck up, right? I was messed up. I, you know, racist, prejudice, violence, guns, knives, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, it's, sometimes you got to shame the devil, but sometimes the details are not important. You know what I mean? And so I was arrested many times. I went to jail. A lot of things happen, and so Jesus Christ set me free. That's why I'm here, right? I want to read you a couple of scriptures because we're in church, right? Supposed to read the Bible in church, at least in church. Come on, somebody. At least in church. There's a scripture in Acts 26, verse 19. Amen. Acts 26, verse. As you go there, I'll tell you the story, and I'll make it briefer than I did this morning. When I used to get arrested, they would take you from the, I don't know if I've been arrested, right? David been arrested. I'm here with David. Anyway, so I'll share about them in a minute. But they take you from the resting precinct, and they make you miserable there for a couple hours. And then they take you to another precinct on the chain gang, to another precinct, make you miserable there for a couple hours. Then they take you to another precinct, they, you know, get on the bus, go to another precinct, and they make you miserable there. And then they take you to the court building downstairs in the back. They make you miserable there for a couple hours. They bring you to the front of the court building. Young people, you don't want to get arrested, all right? Old people, mature people, you don't want to get arrested? Okay. And so they take you, they take this long, dragged out process to just finally see the judge, right? And so this is what happened to Paul. He got arrested earlier in Acts, and they're taking him through the system. Felix, Festus, you know, you're on King Agrippa now. He's in front of the King Agrippa, and now he takes this opportunity because Paul's no joke. Paul's a warrior, gladiator, barbarian. Paul is not civilized, right? Some of us used to be barbarians and we got civilized. Not here, but in Brooklyn. All right? In Brooklyn. So Paul takes, Paul's shackled. You know how Paul is. They don't know what to do with Paul. Right? Paul, they put Paul in jail. And Paul says, okay, you think you're sweet? All right. Though I am chained, the gospel goes unchained. And Paul's in jail right now. And he's telling King Agrippa his story. He seizes a divine opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with King Agrippa while he's being persecuted and imprisoned. Now that's a warrior right there. When you're going through the fire and being persecuted and you're going through drama and it seems like every demon in hell is bothering you and you still share the gospel and you still go out for the Lord, that's a warrior right there. Most Christians, oh, poor me, you know, bendito, the demons are bothering you. It's a battle. They're supposed to be bothering you. All right, anyway. So Paul shares the gospel with King. He tells him his story. I was on the road to Damascus, right? I was going to get those crazy Christians because they deserve it, right? Hypocrites. Anyway, so, and he's on his way down to Damascus, the road to Damascus, to get those crazy Christians, you know, he's going to get them. And Jesus Christ knocks him off his high horse, right? And I was sharing, sometimes some of us, young people, you don't, not, any young people here, anybody, if you're young, there's someone who still has growing up to do. Okay, all right, good. We got some young people, that's good. I'm making friends, Pastor. All right, so if you're young, it don't got to be like this. You know what I mean? Like, it don't got to be. What I'm gonna share right now, it don't got to be like that. But there's some people that they're too smart to go to heaven. You understand? They're intellectually, you know, stimulated, and they just don't, the gospel is foolishness to them. And there's some people that they got to get depleted, that they got to get, like me, depleted of all your emotional resources, depleted of all your intellectual resources, depleted of all your financial resources, depleted of your relational resources. There's some people that God is saying, can you hear me now? No? Okay, está bien. 6 months later, you're crying. Can you hear me now? No? Okay. 6 months later, now you, can you hear me now? You know, pain is you got to go through pain in life. Suffering is optional, right? So there's some people that they got to get laid out on their back because they don't hear him now. And they got to get depleted of all resources. They got to get tore up. They got to get good and miserable. They got to lose almost everything. So God lays them out on their back because that's the only time they'll look up, right? But young people, it don't got to be like that. You can today receive and believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't got to go later. I tell my son, he's a pastor's kid. You don't got to go to jail. You don't got to have a gun. You don't get cut in your face. You don't got to get shot. It's okay to grow up in church, be 5 years, say the prayer, receive Christ, and be a thug for Jesus. It's okay. You don't got to get a war story. Like, that's not, it's corny to get a war story if you don't have to. Young people, I'm sorry I'm talking to young people, but young people think, oh, Bible study is corny. You know what's corny? Getting drunk and stumbling and falling and throwing up all night. That's corny. Going to Bible study is not corny. And I'm not no punk, I'm sorry if that's a bad word, because I go to church or because I go to Bible. I'm not no coward. It takes toughness, it takes courage to be a Christian. So young people, you don't got to get laid out. You don't got to wait 10 years later, get married to the wrong person, mess up in school, become alcoholic. You don't got to do that. You can receive and believe Christ right now. Right now. Just open your heart and you can just grow up and be a Christian, be a man or woman of God. That takes, all right, praise the Lord. So, yeah, these probably going to be two different sermons. Amen. All right. But what time does this end, Pastor? No, seriously. Is it? No, okay. No, what time does this end? All right. So anyway, so now Paul gets laid on his back. Now, my story, you know, I hate people. I hate everybody. I was an equal opportunity racist. Right? I don't know if that. I hated white people. I hated black people. I'm Puerto Rican. I hated Puerto Ricans. All right? The devil had me so messed up. The devil had me into so much self-loathing and so much hatred, anger, bitterness, resentment, that I hated everybody. All right? So it don't take too much courage to pull a trigger. It don't take too much courage to stab somebody. It takes a coward. That's a cowardly way to live. Scared, people who are scared of death do things like that. So I lived like a coward. And I was driven by a powerful drive. And I would do whatever I had to do. I could not stop using drugs. There was nothing I wouldn't do for the next drug. The devil said, don't worry, it's not that bad. Don't worry, just drink. Don't worry, just smoke weed. Don't worry, just do one line. Don't worry, just pop one pill. Don't worry, and don't worry took me places I never imagined I would be. So I ended up all messed up, all twisted. You know, I was 17 years old, and I woke up one day, and they offered me 8 1/3 to 25 years in prison. And you know, you have those moments of clarity, like the prodigal son came to himself. I said, how did I get here? I wanted to be a Major League Baseball, but I had dreams. Before I had that drink, before I smoked that joint, before I had goals. I wanted to play ball. How did I end up here? How did I end up a dirty, filthy drug addict that doesn't even brush his teeth anymore? How did I end up breaking my mother's heart? How did I end up hurting all the? So I had a moment of clarity, And I didn't listen. When you're desperate, that's why. When you're desperate, you know, if you got a hard heart or a hard head, pain, misery, and suffering will make you open. I told in some churches, I told people I thank God for crack. Right? People say, "What? Crack made me very open-minded. Crack destroyed my life, gave me a gift of desperation that enabled me to pursue and come to church one day. I came to a church that I heard drug addicts were getting zapped. Right? Heroin addicts, alcoholics, they were getting zapped on the spot. And so I went to this church. Me and my sisters were drug addicts. We were all drug addicts, both my sisters. One of them was a prostitute, you know, selling her body for drugs. The other one was she dressed and lived like a man, right? She lived with another woman. She dressed like a man. She had man's clothes. She walked around with a baseball bat everywhere she went. Big old wooden baseball bat. The devil had us all bound. My mother's life was ravaged by her children. So anyway, we go to church, and then there's a charismatic church, and they have an altar call. And when I, you know, at that time, I had a razor in my boots because you got to be ready to go to jail. So I go to jail, I got a razor in my boots so I could cut somebody when I go to jail so I can get on the phone, so blah, blah. All right, I got a razor in my mouth because if I need to spit it out right now, we got beef, and I had a 9mm. So I go to church, and they do the altar call, charismatic church, drug addicts getting zapped. So they start praying for people, and people start falling. So immediately, I don't like that, right? I'm not feeling that very much. So people are falling. So by the time they get to me to pray, you know, I get in my, you know, I put my, right? I'm not falling. Even though there's a part of me that wanted to fall. Like if I had to fall so I could stop smoking crack, I would have fell, you know? So, but nothing happened. You know, the guy's praying for me. And I'm not falling. So in that mind, again, the devil twisted it. The devil said, you see, God doesn't want you. He accepted all the other guys. He zapped them. He's not zapping you. So what I would do right after church for months, I would go to the park, like if you're going to the parking lot across the street, and I would rob the drug dealers and get high. That's what I did. So, all right, so for a couple of months, I did that. They started to know me, see me, recognize me. They started having shootouts. They started, you know, they started getting ready. They knew I was coming. It was a pattern. After church every Sunday, go rob the drug dealers. Let's get high. So I had to stop that pattern. So I decided we got to stop going to this church, all right? It wasn't working anyway. It wasn't working anyway. So I come to Christ. I said the prayer. So the last Sunday, sometimes God allows things to get very, very dark and desperate, and we don't understand why. But sometimes God, like you might think you're praying for your son or you're praying for your son-in-law, and you don't understand why God, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Sometimes God has to get really, really ugly so he can demonstrate his glory. Right? So anyway, it got really, really ugly. The last Sunday, I'm there, and all of a sudden I make the altar call, and people falling, and I don't fall, but something like scales begin to fall from my eyes. And I began to do something I've never done, you know, I began to weep. And where I come from, men don't cry. To cry is a cowardly thing, you don't cry, you want to cry, I give you something to cry about. So we don't cry where I come from. And I began to cry, and immediately I began to get angry that I'm crying. Like, I'm like, you know, I don't like getting vulnerable. I don't like that whole feeling like I was a coward, you know. So, but something happened to me that day. And I was sharing in the last service, I never got to finish it, about John chapter 9. That there's a blind man, and he's blind, not because him or his father have sinned. His parents, there's a blind man that's blind just to give glory to God. So Jesus spits, and we talked about the whole spitting thing, right? All right, Jesus spits, So he spits, it's biblical to spit, okay? So he spits, he makes balls of mud, like, and puts them in the guy's eyes. And then he tells the guy to go wash in the Sea of Shalom, right? So then he goes, washes. So this is what happened. This is what, I'm there, and I start crying. I can't believe I'm crying. Something happens to me. All right. Immediately after that, God makes a way. I end up in rehab. It's been 18 years and about 6 weeks. I haven't had a drink or a drug. No, not a zip at a wedding. I've been set free, you know, delivered, you know, just, I'm 17 years old And God, you know, the devil, see, John 10:10 says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the young people, old, mature people. That's the devil's plan. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But John 10:10, the B side is God's plan. But I've come to give life. Christ has come to give life and give it more abundantly. So the devil had a plan for my life, and the devil has had me as a puppet, as a string on a puppet on a string. You got it. And then here comes Jesus, and he scrapes the bottom of the barrel to get a hold of my life. So at that moment, he told me to go wash in the Sea of Siloam, however you say it, right? So I go to rehab. I go to AA meetings. I mean, now I'm not drinking. I'm not getting high no more. I'm like, thank you, God. See you later. Don't need him no more. I was desperate. A drowning man would grasp at straws to save his life. So I was drowning, so I tried the Jesus thing. Thank you for answering my prayer. Now I'm going to go to AA. So I went to AA. I started speaking all over the world in AA. Bill W. dinners, you know, all this other stuff. Speaking all over. I liked it. I was sober. My life was changing. On the outside, I became employable. A lot of things started happening. But about 5 years into the process, more messages, more people walking across the room. More people telling me about Jesus. More people telling me, you got a Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck God. I was like, what are you talking Mickey Mouse? Yo, I'll punch you. You crazy? They said, no, you don't got a real God. You got the God of your convenience. I was like, yo. And so more people sharing. More people sharing the gospel. More people stepping out. Somebody giving me a tract. Somebody inviting me to church. Somebody inviting me to the youth camp. You know, and people stepping out. And I got good and miserable. Because without Jesus, even though your life can get better, like if you was an alcoholic or drug addict, abstinence doesn't equal deliverance. So after washing in the sea, the guy could see now. The blind guy in John chapter 9. So I got clean. I washed in the sea and I got clean. But later on in the chapter, Jesus, after the guy gets excommunicated for being a guy who's proclaiming Jesus' goodness, Jesus steps to him later on and says, yo, do you believe? In the Son of Man, do you believe in the Lord? He goes, oh, who is he so that I may believe, Lord? And God, and Jesus says, I am he. And at that moment, he gets saved. You see the difference? God put the balls in his eye, the mud balls in his eye, told him to wash in the sea. He got vision, and then he got saved later on. You understanding the whole? That's that we gave birth to the Wolfpack ministry like that. And the Wolfpack ministry is, you know how they're in church, nobody here. In other churches, make it better, not in Millington, but in other churches, the church around the block. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. They got the gift of being critical. They got the gift of complaining. They get pastors out of the pastorate, okay? So we said, why don't we send sheep in wolves' clothing into the meetings? So we started training the people to go into AA and go into the, without saying Jesus, without talking about scripture, just sharing our testimonies, using their language, using their literature to draw up, and people started getting saved. Right? That's the Wolfpack ministry. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but Mark Marshak and he oversees, we have a Wolfpack ministry where a lot of people have gotten saved. So now, I get converted. 5 years later, I come to church. I commit my life to the Lord. I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm not very Christian. I'm saved. I accept Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm very carnal. So I'm going to church. I'm cursing. I'm fighting still. I'm living in sin, right? And then I wasn't married, living in sin. I found cohabitating, right? I didn't like this living in sin thing. So one day I go to church and I usually sit up on top. If you're taking notes, by the way, the first C is for conversion. All right, Paul got converted on the Damascus Road. I'm talking about Paul's conversion now, right? That was Paul's conversion. That's right there what he's telling King Agrippa. The second C is for the call. God calls Paul into ministry. And he tells Ananias, I want to show Paul how much he's going to suffer for my sake. And he calls him to the Gentiles. Okay, so now I'm sitting in church. So now the second C is for call. I'm sitting in church. I usually sit on the top balcony, but for whatever reason, they let us sit downstairs. I'm sitting in church. I'm bugged out. You know, I'm not a very mature Christian. I know Jesus wept in John 3:16. All right? And I'm sitting in church, and Pastor Cimbala begins to talk about being in Argentina and getting ready to speak to a bunch of pastors to do a pastoral conference, and a woman starts cleaning his shoes. Right? And he tells the interpreter, please tell the woman to stop cleaning my shoes. She's making me uncomfortable. And I'm just a man. The woman tells the interpreter, tell the pastor, please tell him not to make me stop cleaning his shoes. How beautiful are the shoes of a man who does exploits for the Lord. She tells him. So I'm sitting in church. Simple story, right? Nothing deep. I start crying. I'm bugging out, making all types of weird noises. You know, trying to hold in my tears. You know, all time. I don't understand what's going on. I'm just, all right, how beautiful, nice shoes, okay. And at that moment, my life has never been the same. I felt the call to ministry. At that moment, I understood that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. At that moment, I understand that if you're saved, you're like me, no different, saved with a purpose. Your purpose might be a little bit different, how you fulfill God's, but it's the same, that if you're saved, I understood that I'm not in jail, I didn't die, I'm not, because God has a plan for my life. The reason why we get saved is for a purpose, right? I got a team of people with me. I got David, my son Raymond, Louisa, and Ashley. They all have different stories. They all got saved with a purpose. They say, now, I never knew that we would be a team. We got a church planting team. We walked across the room, and God started a church planting movement. Just by listening to the whisper of God. So now, I got the call. I understand that. Now, listen, everybody's called. You need to, 17-year-old, you're called. 70-year-old, you're called. Moses was 80 when God got him from the desert. Right, David was a teenager. We're all called. Now, our calling may be different, but we all got the Great Commission. Go, make disciples of all nations. Go, tell the good news. Tell somebody, whatever it is. If you got a promotion, that's good news. Yo, praise the Lord, I got a promotion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at the person who didn't get a promotion. God is good. Whatever it might be. You got a Gap shirt? God answers prayer. I like Gap. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? It could be whatever story it is. If you got married, I got blessed. God blinded a woman long enough to marry me. Right? That's good news. I flip off this pulpit. That's great news. I'm married. I got friends that they wish they had a girl. I'm like, yo, the Lord blessed me by you. You just got to get with the Lord. He'll blind a woman for you too. So whatever the good news is, I don't know what, my good news is that I was a dirty, filthy drug addict and he set me free. I didn't know if I was pre-millennium. I didn't know if I was post-trib. I didn't know, I didn't know. I knew that I was blind and now I see. I would just run up on people. I'd be like, yo, check it out, Poppy. I just want you to know that, listen, I was a dirty, filthy drug addict. I used to rob people and Jesus Christ changed my life and what he did for me, he could do it for you. And people are like, okay. Right, that's what I did. I ran up, God allowed me to go to crack houses and shooting galleries and people getting high. And they knew me. They said, yo, you know me, I'm Ray G from the group home. I said, look what God did in my life. He took the stem out of my mouth. I got shoes, I'm dressing differently. And I began just to tell them my story. You can fight with theology, you can fight about the Bible, you can't fight with my story. And I just tell them your story. So whatever your story is, I know you gotta have good news to tell somebody. And if you don't, then you can receive Christ and get good news. So, I don't know how much. All right, so anyway, we got the call. We got the call. I answered the call. I told my wife, listen, there's three things I gotta do because I'm called. Valerie, I'm called. She goes, who's calling you? I said, God got a call on my life. She says, Ray, you bugging out. You smoke too much crack. What do you mean God got a call? You know, I didn't have no education, no nothing. I'm bugged out. I'm still doing a little bit fighting, elbows, kick, all types of stuff. And she goes, so she must think that like I'm going to clean the bathroom forever. Because at that time I started cleaning the bathroom. And I'm not the giant, I just clean the bathroom. I want to do something. I clean the bathroom. All right. So she said, okay. I said, I got to get married. She said, I got to get baptized. And Val, you believe it? I got a tithe. She goes, you're going to give the church your money? She said, you might be serious. God might be calling you. Right? So I wasn't giving no money to nobody. All right. So I just started, and I got baptized. I got married, and I started tithing. And I just began to tell people, you know, I began just telling people about the Lord. I began to just, wherever I went, whatever opportunity, I didn't know much. But I began to just tell people, I prayed for God, just whenever you're ready, God, let me know. I'm ready, God. Just let me know. Him? Okay. Hi, how you doing, brother? Can I talk to you for a minute? I was like, whatever, just walking around. Yo, Papa, you look depressed, man. What's going on with you, Pai? Yo, and just talking to David. This, we don't have, you know, I know you did the walk through the Bible thing. Bill Hybels, right? Walk through the Bible. Very strategic, very good. We didn't have that book yet. But David goes up to people. He goes, how you doing? Oh, Jesus Christ, we're from the church. Oh, I don't believe in God. He goes, you don't believe in God? Let me ask you a question. If I pull a gun out and put it to your head, who are you going to pray to? Right? That's David's style evangelism. We do pretty well in Coney Island. All right? So, you know, my point is that God used Ashley came from Oneonta. Ashley looks like a nice little girl, beautiful woman, praise the Lord, doing her thing. Oneonta. God moved her to the inner city of New York to be part of a team of crazy people, reaching crazy people. You know, God will whisper into your heart. Pastor has told you that. He'll whisper. And if you're crazy enough to believe him, oh, man. If you're crazy enough to believe him, I believe God. I said, I got no school. I'm like Paul. He knew Paul was murdering Christians before or after Christians before he got a hold of him. His name was Saul. He knew I was twisted. He knew I had no education. He knew I didn't know how to stop cursing. I used to smoke. He knew my sexual moral issues. He knew me. I didn't have a front with God. And that's the good thing about God. Check out the awesomeness about God. God knows you. Listen. God knows you. He knows you. And what's awesome is he still loves you. Like nobody's going to love you. So I said, man, if he knows me, he knows my stuff, he knows when nobody's looking, and he still loves me, I began to live for him. Now, I'm going to cut this short because I answered the call, right? We started a church in 2001. We didn't know what we was doing. I knew this. Ed, I don't know if you guys know Edwin Cologne. He's my partner. I knew that whoever teaches the Bible, Pastor Chad, they get double judged. The Bible says, be careful, you teachers of the Word of God, because you're going to get judged double. So I'm crazy. I'm not stupid, right? I hope that's not a bad word. Okay. So I said, Edwin, you teach, I evangelize, right? That's what I said. I said, I'm going to go on the street and tell and get the people, you're the teacher, you're a good teacher, Edwin, you teach. I'm not going to get judged double, I'm already in trouble. All right, so anyway, we started in a kitchen with four of us, two people on methadone. That means they're nodding out, they're not even there, you know, we dragged them there. All right. We needed a Bible study. Okay. So we started in the kitchen in 2001. Things started happening. Muslims started coming to the Lord. The Wolfpack ministry started infiltrating ground. We started reaching people. We started doing retreats. We started doing workshops. We started whatever. We started spending all our money on taking people to eat Chinese food. Right? So we take them hostage. You feed people. They listen to you. So, boom, we took them. And people started getting saved. We started one church in 2001. We didn't know nothing. We don't know what we're doing. We met Mark Marshak, Missions Door. They blessed us, right? They gave us Upper Cat. They gave us Abundant Life. They started teaching us, we are premillennium. I said, okay, why are we premillennium? They taught us. I said, can we be post-trib? I mean, pre-trib? I don't want to be post-trib. He said, let's look at the Word of God. We'll see what it says. You know, all right. So we got a covering, Missions Door. We started another church in 2005, Recovery House of Worship. Drug addicts getting delivered. Drug addicts getting saved. Prostitutes teaching Sunday school. We got a James. We got like 10 church planting missionaries coming up from being nothing. Of people that were not a people are now responding to the call of God in their lives. We're going to Urban Cat. We're doing different things, learning the Bible. And we're starting churches. Another church in Staten Island. Now another church in Coney Island. Like God is taking the foolish things of the world. Now here's what I want to say before. I started with Acts 26:19, where Paul tells King Agrippa, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. So the last C is commitment. Right? We got the conversion, we got the call, and now is the commitment. Because ministry is rough. Like I tell my guys, listen, if you're gonna go out for the Lord, you're gonna get slapped, the demon's gonna come against you, it's gonna be rough, it ain't easy. There's, you know, only those strong survive, you know, it's rough. So we let them know that being a Christian is not, you know, you got to go all out. And so God has been raising up people. God, thank you, Ray G. God has been raising up. Praise the Lord. So what about you? What about you? I can tell you what God, I can't reach the people you can reach. And maybe you can't reach the people I can reach. But there's probably somebody you play golf with that's dying to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's probably somebody, I'm going to tell you a story and then we'll close, all right? A quick story. A woman who, she said, listen, I never let anyone, I've been a Christian for 45 years. I've never let anyone to the Lord. Never. And the statistics say 95% of Christians don't. But I never let anyone to the Lord. So she goes to a training. It's called the Andrews training. Okay. She goes to a training where they teach you, if, you know, there's a Billy Graham conference crusade. So she goes and it goes. She gets trained. So here's the training. Pray for someone. Let God put someone in your heart. If you close your eyes right now and you just say, God, who needs you? Who do I know that needs you? Who, you know, it might be an aunt that you don't like, a sister that you're mad at. It might be the neighbor who doesn't, you know, groom his, whatever. It could be God will put somebody on your heart if you become available for God to put somebody in your heart. You begin to pray for them. And then you give them spiritual information. You give them a book. You buy them Purpose-Driven Life. You give them something, you know, and you invite them to. So she went to this training, right? So after the training, at the Billy Graham concert, crusade, she says, listen, Pastor, look. See that woman over there? She's praying to receive Jesus Christ. She's the first one I've ever brought to the Lord. Look, she's praying. You know what I did? I got my hair done Monday. I got my hair done Tuesday. She goes, do you like my hair? I got my hair done Wednesday. I went to the same woman Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I kept inviting her. And look. She's praying to receive Christ. She says, the next day at the Billy Graham, she's like, Pastor, look, you see that young man? By the way, I got all these groceries. You know anybody could use them? She said, I kept going to the grocery store and buying these canned goods, and I kept going to the same register Monday, Tuesday, and I kept telling him, listen, Billy Graham's in town. Come to the crusade. Look, he's praying to receive Christ. My second one. And my point is that if you are just willing to become available to God, if you're willing to just say, listen, we have this thing, come show up. Listen, we have my path. Look, just tell people to check it out. That you don't know what God could do with a mumbling guy like Moses. You don't know what God can, if you, God doesn't care about your ability. If you know the Romans rolled down pack or the four spiritual laws, or you know exactly, you know, God is, he's not concerned with your ability. He's concerned with your availability. Are you available? Or are you too shy or embarrassed or scared or insecure, or you got issues that you won't? What would happen if somebody didn't share the gospel with you? So, as I close, we've been committed, and it's been, you know, if it ain't rough, it ain't right, we say. It's been hard, you know, ministry, you got to imagine, you plant four churches in the inner city, no money, no leaders, you know, everybody's novices. Paul says, don't use a novice, but he just got saved 3 days ago. Listen, you're the usher. You know what I mean? You got a lot of options here, you know what I mean? Like, what's a novice? 2 days? Okay, on the third day, you can play the guitar. You know what I mean? So it's been rough, you know, you got to imagine, we're in this, you know, people broke into our houses, they stole our cars. Physical altercations. You know, you tell a woman to stop having sex because she's not married, her boyfriend gets mad. So we've had some issues. So I just want to say this, right? Would you pray with me that God will put somebody in your heart? That even though you're afraid, you're willing to walk through the fear? I told the earlier church that you might be a school teacher. And you don't, maybe you don't understand, maybe nobody has told you, you're not really a school teacher. You're a minister of the gospel, Jesus Christ, disguised as a school teacher. You might be a lawyer, and maybe nobody's told you yet. When God got a hold of me, crazy guy yelling and screaming and spitting, to tell you that you're not really a lawyer. You're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, disguised as a lawyer. Are you understanding? Are you with me? And I told them, share the gospel all day, every day, and only when you must. Use words. Are you with me? I want to encourage you guys. We have a booth out there. My team is going to be out there. We want to talk to you guys. We want to pray with you guys. If you know, we have some information. If you write down on a newsletter, we'll send you. You know, we'll send you information. What's going on? More churches, more drug addicts, more prostitutes getting saved. Amen. But I want to pray that God will do something here. Amen. Okay, my sister. I tell you about my crazy sisters. I started praying for them and ministering to them. I started, you know, walk across the room. How about fly over the ocean? All right. Because we had to get them out of New York. They were going to kill them both. My sister had got kidnapped by a gang. And they were, you know, all right, so it was ugly. We had to send them both out of Brooklyn to Florida. So I started going to Florida, sharing. I bought them Purpose Driven Life. I bought them Abundant Life. I got them hip-hop Christian CDs. I got them all type of Christian salsa. I did all types of whatever I could. Whatever I can, any Christian, anything I got, they got the bootleg passion, you know what I mean? Anyway, so they got it, not me. All right, so I know we got to go. Listen, so my first sister, the prostitute one, who she used to live with kids in an abandoned building, we had to go get her. We start praying. I start, you know, moving. God is awesome. God saves her. She's going to Bible school. She oversees Christian education in a church in Florida. This dirty prostitute girl, right? My lesbian sister, who's dressed like a man, who's, you know, bugged out, she gets saved. She wears nice little dresses now. She got married to a man. And she gave birth to a beautiful daughter. She's not very scholarly, you know, but she plays the maracas in her church. Ministry is ministry. I've seen you guys doing it over here, changing instruments or all that. I was slapping my son. You see? You know? All right. I'm sorry I'm keeping you. I want to come back. All right, listen. So I just want to say this. My mother was, I baptized my own mother. I didn't get to say that. We led my mother to the Lord. I got a picture of me baptizing her in the ocean in Florida. My grandmother was like 80 years old. You know, they say it's almost impossible to convert someone at that age. She had more saints than the Vatican. and I led her to, I was God let me lead her to the Lord using the second commandment. If you make any images of anything here, that generations will be cursed. I was able to explain to her that that's probably why all my family is twisted, because of generational curses, because you're worshiping idols. Paul says in Corinthians, you're worshiping demons. And my grandmother, Agnes, accepts the Lord. And I can tell you, my whole family now is serving God in one church or another. Because when you take care of God's business, He takes care of your business. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Let's pray and ask for grace that you guys invite me back, and we'll find out what time we close next time. All right? But I want to ask, I just feel led, if you bow your heads with me, I want to pray for maybe somebody here who you're not sure if you're saved. Amen. I hope this is okay, but I want you to bow your heads with me. Let's pray real quick. Father, I pray for every man and every woman here. Lord, you know the hearts of everyone in this place. And maybe there's someone here that they just need to surrender to you right now. I pray that in Jesus' name, that they would not ignore the knocking of the door of their heart. That right now they would surrender their lives to you. They would choose to live for you. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed. If that's you, and you know that you're not really sure if you're saved, and you want to just accept the Lord right now, would you raise your hand right now? It doesn't matter if you're a teenager, if you're more mature. Anyone here needs to surrender life to the Lord? Anyone? I see a hand up there. God bless you. Anyone else? A hand right here. God bless you. Anyone else? Don't be embarrassed who's next to you. If Jesus is knocking on your door, today is your day. Just raise your hand as a sign of surrender. Anyone else? Okay. Those two hands. Would you pray with me? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. I understand you died on a cross for my sins. I understand that you went to heaven to prepare a place for me. I understand you died on the third day. You rose on the third day. And right now, I surrender my life to you. Take control of my life. guide me, and lead me, and give me the strength to follow. From this day forward, I would serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.